top headlines.
Bruins host the Hurricanes tonight. Patrice Bergeron is out 2 weeks with a fractured right foot, according to the Bees. He'll be reevaluated at that point. Riley Nash will reportedly fill in for Bergeron on the top line. And newly acquired Tommy Wingles will be on the third line with David Backes and Danton Heinen. Dunkin' Donuts Bruins pregame at 6:30. Celtics beat the Grizzlies at the Garden last night, 109-98. Kyrie Irving had 25 points in 25 minutes. Here was Kyrie on the work the team puts in.
We have team meetings every single day when we come in and watch film and stuff like that. What needs to be said is said, and we move on from there. And it's our job as professionals to go out there and play at a very high level and demand it from yourself, and then collectively be on the same accord.
Celtics host the Hornets tomorrow night. Patriots news, Tom Curran reported on Boston Sports Tonight last night that Rob Gronkowski did not enjoy himself this past season. Curran said that the atmosphere is physically and mentally starting to wear on Gronk. Curran also reported that Gronk contemplated stepping away from the game in training camp. Other NFL news, Calvin Watkins Newsday is reporting that the Jets will look into Malcolm Butler in free agency. Ian Rappaport reporting that Teddy Bridgewater is expected to be a free agent, and the Bills reached an agreement on a one-year deal with cornerback Vontae Davis. Finally, Sox play the Cardinals in Fort Myers today, 1 o'clock first pitch. Headlines are brought to you by Hooters in Saugus, Shrewsbury, Dedham, and West Springfield, where the game is on, the food is hot, and the beer is cold. Hooters makes you happy. I'm Nick Cattlesick. Headlines coming up at 12:30.
Boston's home for sports is on your phone.
Yeah!
Listen live and check out our podcast with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Noontime hour here on Zolak and Bertrand. Hardy in for Zoe. Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe, is with us. 617-779-0985. I see you've been commenting on the latest from Kurt Schilling on Twitter, Dan.
Oh, my God. The man is a menace to society. There's no other way to couch it now. Now he's like picking on those poor children who had to flee their school while people were being murdered.
He is catching heat for retweeting a debunked conspiracy theory. Let me read from Mark Shanahan, who wrote it up in the Globe. Instead of throwing heat, the former Red Sox pitcher is catching it after retweeting the debunked conspiracy theory that alleged that 17-year-old David Hogg, one of the survivors of the shooting in Parkland, Florida, was a paid actor. Schilling retweeted a yearbook photo that some people contend proves Hogg is a high school student in California, not Florida. The problem is that Hogg is, in fact, a student at Marjorie Stoneham Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. And this was some sort of sick hoax that people put together on the internet, you know, wearing their tinfoil hats. And then he retweeted it.
Disgraceful.
I mean, that is like the worst kind of crap on the internet.
Pandering to the base.
That is just, that is the most messed up of the online stuff. When you start in, oh, no, this kid on TV, no, he's a fraud.
It's par for the course for Schilling, though, because his MO is he's convinced he's the smartest guy out there, and he's really,
really,
really dumb.
You would have thought after Rhode Island, it took all that money from Rhode Island, should have been just disappeared in disgrace and never shown your face again. That would do it for most, you know.
I mean, I'm going to retweet a bunch of internet memes. I'm going to be totally one-sided in my thought process and my commentary, and I'm not going to engage anybody. I'm not going to have a discussion. I'm going to try and convince people. I'm going to try and get people to understand that I have all the answers. Yeah. I know what's going on. I have the real story here. No, you don't, dumbass. And all you're doing is adding to the misery of these people. A real tragedy. False flag conspiracies, child actors being brought in. No, Kurt, dumbass, that's not what's happening here. But he's in his compound, locked away, completely losing touch with reality.
And it's
at
not,
what point did it really again, turn for him?
I don't know. It's increasingly.
You, but you knew him back in the day. Was he nuts then?
I don't remember anything like
was this, he that crazy and
this,
stupid?
This vile or reckless or careless. I mean, again,
it's
I,
all those things.
Yeah, and it's not this. You know, he says he thinks it's politics. People don't like my politics. No,
no,
it's not your politics.
It's not.
You're a menace to society. Stop. How's that?
It's good.
No, it's good. I know that he fires you up. Obviously,
oh my God.
You were tweeting about it, so I knew that
well,
you had
just,
thought on
I
that.
Well, I just saw that.
The only thing that keeps him from being a true menace is most people. You know, you look at the number of people that, like, follow him and engage with him and, like, actually pay attention to him. It's not that many.
No.
He doesn't have a whole lot of people who are buying into his
nonsense.
I would
think you
Thank
lose people
God.
Repeatedly with these kinds of, with this kind of sort of behavior. I mean, eventually there's nobody left. It's just you.
Peter's in Jamaica playing today. Hi, Peter.
Well, I'm sorry to move from a sad subject to Gronk, but I think he's a lovable, goofy guy, and I think he wants everyone to like him. And after he pile drive that guy, what is his name, Mike, I think, he stopped smiling. He stopped goofing around. He was labeled a dirty player, and I really think it took some of the joy out of the game for him because he wasn't smiling. He wasn't goofing after that. It was very obvious.
So after, like in that moment or in the aftermath with the suspension, you're saying it's all like part of one thing?
Yeah, he's saying that after that.
I'm going to go back to what you said earlier, Beetle. I
you think know, Tre'Davious White
incident that
changed his mind. Jim's already in my ear saying his dad has this theory.
This is my dad. He told me this on the ride home yesterday. This is his theory on Gronk. Since he's just doesn't view football the same.
No, I don't think so, because Gronk knows he was wrong to do that.
No, but maybe that goes back to your point earlier of that was a culmination for him of how tired he is of the way the game has to be played and the way he gets mugged on every single play and how he can't he's treated differently than maybe any other tight end in the league.
Yeah, or if the caller's right and Jim's dad is right, I would chalk it up more to it's just another check in the con count. Con column. Do I play football for another year? Here's why I say yes. Here's why I say no. No, because I put a late hit on a guy and I got vilified for it. Right. That was no fun.
The whole hood want me. Cons.
The whole hood.
That would be a con.
Yeah.
If I were doing the columns.
How would Jim Gray say that if Jim Gray were filling out the pros and cons for him?
So, Gronk, I understand the whole hood want you. You have any comment?
You know, we said earlier he played 14 games. We didn't even count. He played 15 games if you count the suspended game.
The
right?
whole hood wants after him.
Yeah. Thank you, Jim.
Was that really him?
Yeah, there's Jim Gray.
Jim said that?
Yeah, play it again.
Do that again.
The whole hood wants after him.
Tom.
Good pause there.
He was reading it to Tom Brady in their interview.
Will you defend Rob Gronkowski against the hood?
The whole hood wants after him.
Jesse and Saugus. Hey, Jesse.
Hey, yeah. So I wanted to talk about how you guys were talking about the other day how Gronk might feel like he missed out. He would miss out if they went out and won a Super Bowl without him if he quit this season. And I don't think he should feel sorry for, you know, walking away from the game, considering like how many times we've seen this guy in a hospital gown and how many times he's been hurt and just how much punishment. Like, this guy has definitely put his, like, you know, his mind, body, and soul for the Patriots. You know, I think if he walked away now, you know, we would all be, you know, he'd be celebrated. But if he, like, stayed and he continued getting hurt and he ended up, you know, something bad really happening to him and later on he, like, shot himself, I think it would be really tragic. So that's my thoughts.
Okay, Jesse.
Yeah.
Yep, I think he's given a lot. Physically, it demands a lot. And for him, that's involved many surgeries. That's involved a lot of injuries along the way and a lot of work to rehab and come back from those injuries. So, yeah, I think he's given a lot to his football career. And maybe he's done giving a lot. I still think that is the number one reason that he is sitting here contemplating it. I don't think it's – I think, sure, money could be a part of it. The idea that he has other things waiting for him if he decides to walk away from football could be a part of it. I think the number one thing to him is physical health condition, and desire to continue
to
do
it.
Yeah,
what kind of a life do you want to lead when you're 40, 50, 60 years old? Sure.
But, Dan, it may not even be the 50 or 60 years old. It might be the how do I feel getting out of bed every morning at 28?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that the guy's been through a lot. He's had a lot of different things. So I think that it's probably more in the short term than it even is. He may not even be thinking 20 years down the line. That may not even be something he's thinking about. I wouldn't rule that out. 617-779-0985. You didn't hear the report from Tommy Curran that we played earlier in the show today. We will play that for you coming back. Also, Patrice Bergeron will be out for at least 2 weeks. He has a fracture in his foot that he played on because the original x-rays were negative. More thorough CT scan positive, so he's going to be held out for 2 weeks. Give you our thoughts on that coming up next as well.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It is no longer wise to ignore us.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It does defy explanation to a degree until you start kicking over some rocks and talking to some people and trying to get, you know, your fingers on the pulse of it. And I've done that quite a bit. And he didn't enjoy himself in 2017. He did not have a good time, despite the fact his body was in a better situation than it's been in a long time, ever maybe, despite the fact that he is one of the most dominant players at any skill position. Starting to wear on him physically, mentally. The atmosphere here in New England.
Just to clarify really quick, so when you say in 2017, so a lot of people look at that, the concussion that he suffered in the AFC Championship, and said maybe that's what scared him. Was this going on before that?
Yes.
Okay.
This started in training camp. He seriously considered stepping away from the game in training camp. He kind of had it. At that point, his body wasn't responding. He wanted to train a certain way. The team didn't necessarily want him to train the way he wanted to train. They were at loggerheads. And he was, you know, he was pissed. And the season played out. And by the end of it, I don't think that some of the principal players on this team were really happy with the atmosphere and the climate. All the stuff that we've reported about, all the stuff we've talked about, they still need to have a hell of an air clearing at Patriot Place to get these guys back.
From Tommy Curran last night, NBC Sports Boston, BST, which I know Hardy takes part in from time to time, the old BST, Tommy Giles and company.
Yeah, good stuff on there.
Yeah.
Well, Tommy Curran put forth some stuff last night that went all the way back to last summer, which makes me, like we said at the top of the show, Beetle. It makes me think that this is at least worthy of concern. This feels like it's not something that was just knee-jerk after the Super Bowl. Oh, tired of this. You know, I'm going to wait and see before I, you know, commit to another year.
Yeah.
No, he's got some, there's a little bit of history there. Yeah, made me worry a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think you've reached the same level of concern that I have. Which is, I think it's a real possibility. I don't think it's likely. Mm-hmm.
2 weeks ago, I was Shaughnessy. Shaughnessy hasn't budged.
You've budged. It's good. That shows growth.
I've budged.
Good for you.
There's movement.
Shaughnessy, meanwhile, I was like, nope. All bull crap. Money. He'll be back. He'll play. He's Gronk. Which is good. I hope you're right.
I'm staying by it. Yeah. I'm going to, you know, I'll listen intently to all this discussion, but this guy's not going anywhere. Loves football.
You buy the part that maybe he's tired of playing for a Bill Belichick-led team in the environment that's created and working environment there?
No.
All right, then.
No.
I mean, typically you would jump all over that, no?
I mean, those would be interesting themes, and we could have a lot of fun with them and stuff.
Yeah.
But, I mean, too many years. I mean, 17, 18 years of this, it doesn't happen. Then, you know, guys leave. Randy Moss, Corey Dillon, they all speak finally of their days here. You know, nobody ever has anything, you know, occasional malcontent. But very rare. Very rare.
Yeah, no one's saying that he's hates it or hates the coach or hates the system. He's just kind of done with it. Maybe he's just, it's run its course for him. Doesn't want to do it anymore. Kind of tired. Been through a lot. So there's that story, which we can, of course, keep talking about and will keep talking about. Dan's date's coming up at 12:50. There is some news that has happened here in the last hour, and that is Patrice Bergeron. will be out 2 weeks and be reevaluated. This all due to that injury that he happened in Toronto, and then he played against Buffalo the next day. So here's what happened, according to the Bruins. Bruins had an X-ray. They gave him an X-ray on the foot that was negative. This all taking the shot off the foot. He left that night with the walking boot as a precaution. The X-ray was negative. He played through it, played through pain, discomfort, as they called it, in Buffalo. And therefore, when he got back, the medical staff sent him to have a CT scan, which is multiple X-rays from various different angles. They ever had one of those. That revealed that he had a small fracture, that there was indeed a small fracture that did not show up on the X-ray. So because of that, he's not going to shut it down for 2 weeks. Are you worried about this, Hardy? Because I am not.
No.
I am not worried about this for him.
No, especially since the fact that he played the next day after suffering this injury. And we talked with Jaffe about this.
It feels very precautionary to me.
Yeah, they stuck him in a walking boot the night after, and Jaffe said, yeah, they'll do that as a precaution now, and it can, you know, after you take the skate off, which kind of acts like a compression boot to begin with, they'll put another boot back on for you to walk around in, and that can take some of the swelling down. That can help with whatever is going on. He played the next day, apparently got it looked at again, and they found a fracture, but they're going to keep him out for 2 weeks, presumably. I wouldn't feel great about this if it happened a month from now. I don't feel great about it now, but Nash is here. It feels like literally like a 2-3 week thing. And if it were really, really bad, I don't think there's any way he would have played the next night on it. So I think it's beyond precautionary, but I don't think it's something that's going to derail him for the rest of the season. Would it derail the team? Yeah, the way Bergeron's been playing and what he means to that team, absolutely. That would be a huge blow to the team. But I don't think it's going to be that. It's beyond precautionary, but it's not serious.
I bet he's back in 2 weeks.
Yeah, three.
Is what I think. They're probably looking at it saying, if you play on it, you can make it worse.
Yep.
Let's not do that. Let it heal, and you'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
That would be what I think is going on. And so I'm not too concerned about this. Feels like Twitter, like it typically does, is having a meltdown over it, but I wouldn't do that.
No.
Precautionary.
Yeah. Well, now, beyond precautionary, they don't want him skating on it for 2 weeks.
That's how you heal it. If you have something
right,
that's cracked
right.
or fractured.
So that's not precautionary. It's got to heal. He's got to
sure.
He's got to take a couple of weeks.
Yeah, you're right.
To get it better.
I get what you're
saying. It's beyond precautionary,
but not
serious.
I'm saying that 2 weeks might be precautionary. It might be make sure it's fully healed, right? In a week, it might be better, and he might be able to play. But that's when it would be a point where they say, no, just keep waiting it out. Do what is the prescribed way of not having it be a bigger issue than it is.
Yeah.
Make sure it's fully healed before you come back, because we don't want this to become an issue for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that way he's good for the playoffs and he's good for everything else. It's fine.
Everyone relax. It's not perfect. I would rather have Nash in there playing and contributing in a way that this team is hopefully going to be put together and the lines rolling the way they will be throughout the end of the season and the postseason, and get him kind of, you know, used to something. Because it's going to be changed up here for the next couple of weeks.
Joe is in New Hampshire. Joe, what do you got?
Oh, hey guys. I was taking you off speaker, but I just wanted to make a point. I know you guys hate when anybody says this on the radio, but I don't know if anybody's brought it up yet. Where Gronk actually almost didn't play football in the NFL to take an insurance policy he had on his body when he was in college. So I'm not sure which way this makes me lean, if I'm leaning more towards it's a real deal or if it's more of a he always thinks about leaving football. I'll take your opinions off the air, guys. Thanks.
Okay. The story that Joe in New Hampshire is referring to is that Rob Gronkowski, as he wrote himself, I believe. I think he did a story.
Players Tribune?
It didn't exist yet. It wasn't that long ago. It was a couple of years ago. SI. I have it here. SI. He could have retired at the age of 19 and collected $4 million in the insurance policy, tax-free. He could have walked away with $4 million. It also meant you can't play football anymore.
Right.
It means it's over. He said, and this is what he wrote, "I did the calculations, and at 4% annual interest, I could make $160,000 a year without touching the $4 million in principal. But I didn't want the easy money. I wanted to earn it. I wanted to play football. Maybe a lot of people would take the money and run, but I looked at it as quitting. I was happy playing football and didn't want to give that up. So I decided to try physical therapy. It was a long shot, but I had to try. And this is, again, him coming out of college with the back injury. That's why he fell in the draft. That's why the Patriots drafted him where they did.
But wait, did he say he crunched those numbers and figured that out? Or do you think some accountant
somebody
did it
for him? Somebody did it for him.
What are you going to do that for?
Just, there's a ring of untruth to that part.
Well,
just...
if you Google, like, interest calculator, you can put the... Okay, let's see. Right. Interest calculator. Compound interest calculator. current principal.
Well, most of us would take that deal. We never have to play a minute in the NFL.
Let's say...
and we get $160 a year for life.
Annually.
And never touch the $4 million. I'd take that to not have to go across the middle. What about you?
Yeah, but I'm not him.
Look at this. I just put it in at 4%, $4 million, $160,000 annually. There it is. Not that hard to do.
He is him, and he did do it. He should do it for another year. Should absolutely do it for another year. Go do something that approaches real. You know, we sit here and we talk about things that other people do.
Carry the two.
What I would...
Hold on. Okay.
You say things, they're a punchline.
Good things I use.
Right.
Good things I use.
Damn,
a pencil.
What would you give to be the guy who does something as opposed to the guy who just writes about or talks about what other people do?
Not if it hurts as much as that would hurt. No. I like the 160 a year, and you don't have to go across the middle. I am down with that.
You've been doing that for 30 years.
Chris in Raynham is up next. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. You guys were talking about Brandon Cooks yesterday. I just can't get over that play in the Super Bowl where it was 3rd and 1, and he had 10 yards on either side of the field, and he ran straight into the guy. And I remember earlier hearing people say he's not very good with the ball in his hands, and I was like, that doesn't make sense. How can an NFL player not be good with a ball in space? And he was terrible last year. Even the play that he got injured on is a play that I've never seen anyone do. I've never seen anyone work their way sideways after catching it when they could have gotten 10 yards forward.
That was a very, very odd cut direction he made there. It was the changing of direction. It was just, it made no sense. Hard to fathom. And the 3rd and 1 was, you know, where he tries to jump over the
guy. What would you do with Cooks?
Well, Benny Volen says release him, right?
No, that's a horrible option. Horrible. It really is. It really comes down to trade or resign. Or just, you know, the third option is just let him play it out. It's not a crippling amount of money. It's on the value chart. For this team, it's not great, but the money won't kill them if they pay him out for the year. Plus, he has compensatory picks that will be tied to him if they lose him in free agency that they don't want to give up on. The releasing him idea is not
going to
happen.
What do you think is going to happen?
I think they're going to try to extend him, and I don't know the willingness of the player to get a deal done, and then if they don't get a deal done, they're still going to pay him. I think they're sort of stuck, is what I think. So I think he's going to be here. Unless they have a great trade they can pull where they can get another receiver back.
Fans are down on this guy, though. Don't you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, he had a good year. But I think here's the problem. The expectations were very, very high for him. And the way he looked in training camp, I mean, he was spectacular. He was putting on a show every day. I think people saw that early on in the year and thought, I'm right in that camp. I thought this guy was going to be an absolute star.
Yeah. Something they hadn't had.
Yeah. And he was good. I don't want to take that away from him. He didn't have a bad year. There were things that, I don't know, he could have done better. Zoe. I talked to Zoe about this yesterday. He's like, I don't care what happens to Cooks. Oh, get rid of him. Whatever.
That's a good Zoe.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying to me.
He's on board with releasing him?
Yeah. He's like, I don't, whatever. I'm like, okay, well, you're not going to do that because of, you know, they could get picks back if he's here. And yeah, whatever. I don't care if he's on the team or not. I'm like, okay. So I'm like, I can't wait for Zoe to come back later in the week and tell us more about that.
Zoe's got a couple plays set in his mind that he remembers from this season that he will not forgive him for.
I think it's more than a few. He will outline all of them.
There was this whole notion that he wouldn't fight, you know, wouldn't fight for the ball, wouldn't fight for the yards. He was just too passive.
More of your calls with Dan Shaughnessy are coming up next, and then we have Dan's dates at 12:50.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Bruins host the Hurricanes tonight. The Bees have announced that Patrice Bergeron will be out 2 weeks with a fractured right foot. He will be reevaluated at that point. Riley Nash will reportedly fill in for Bergeron on the top line. And newly acquired Tommy Wingles will center the third line with David Backes and Danton Heinen. Dunkin' Donuts Bruins pregame at 6:30. Patriots News' Tom Curran reported on Boston Sports Tonight last night that Rob Gronkowski did not enjoy himself this past season. Curran said that the atmosphere is physically and mentally starting to wear on Gronk. Curran also reported that Gronkowski contemplated stepping away from the game in training camp. Celtics beat the Grizzlies at the Garden last night, 109-98. Kyrie Irving had 25 points in 25 minutes. The Seas will host the Hornets tomorrow night. And finally, the Red Sox played the Cardinals in Fort Myers today, 1 p.m. first pitch. Headlines are brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. If last week's high temperatures caught you off guard, call Awaken 180 Weight Loss and be confident in your warm weather clothes this year. I'm Nick Cattles. Next headlines coming up at 1 o'clock.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Zolak and Bertrand, Hardy in for Zoe, Cattle's in for Hardy. Dan Shaughnessy joins us for about another 23 minutes. Do Dan's dates coming up very shortly. It's been a while since we did Dan's dates. Good to have him back from Fort Myers.
You missed a big one.
What?
Bruins tickets 15 minutes away.
Damn it.
Does anyone know the names of any of the Doobie brothers?
John Doobie.
Isn't the guy Michael...
Michael McDonald?
Thank you, yeah.
He's a Doobie brother.
Yeah. All right, that was good, Beatle, for a young guy. Were there any African-Americans in the Doobie Brothers? No, I'm serious.
It's like, I don't know any black guys named Don, because you said that once on this show, and we put you to shame.
We
really embarrassed
inundated
you that day.
With Don Lemons and everybody.
Here's where it goes poorly for Dan Shaughnessy.
According to this,
I've never known a black guy to use the word Doobie.
Hold
they
on.
Refer to him as joints.
According to this picture on Wikipedia of the Doobie Brothers, there is one African-American
okay.
in the band.
So they are not relations.
Did you think they were actual brothers? They could be. You don't know that. You're assuming an
okay,
awful
here
lot.
Here are the last names of, I guess, the original members of, or I don't know when they were formed.
They were great.
Here's a picture. This is the Doobie Brothers, 1974. These are the names. Knudsen, Porter, Simmons, Johnston, and Hartman. Okay. So none of them share the same name.
Okay.
So that would indicate that they're, I don't know this. You know, you never know.
Yeah.
But on the surface, it doesn't look like they were actual brothers.
The likelihood is they are not relations.
Doobie Brothers appeared in an episode of What's Happening.
The only problem...
Which is
so the only problem with
to
this,
say the least.
You bring up the Doobie Brothers. The song that we just heard is not by the Doobie Brothers.
What?
It's one of Zoe's favorites. It's by Bachman Turner Overdrive.
That's Bachman Turner Overdrive?
That's BTO, right? Thank you, Jim.
I spent my whole life thinking that was the Doobies.
No, wrong.
Bachman Turner Overdrive is responsible for one of the worst songs ever.
Taking care of business. Elvis Presley's whole life was dictated by that song.
Ever offered up.
Wait, what?
To the world. Taking care of business?
TCB.
Yeah, it's so bad.
Elvis had pendants made up with TCB on them.
He didn't.
He gave them out
yeah,
to all the guys.
Yeah, but they didn't invent that.
Joey Esposito.
They didn't invent
no.
taking care of business. Aretha Franklin references it in Respect, doesn't
okay.
she?
I believe Elvis was reacting to
you ain't
Bachman
seen
Turner
nothing
Overdrive.
Yet. It was a Bachman Turner Overdrive.
Yeah.
It's also pretty bad.
Baby,
yeah, it's pretty bad. But
yeah.
taking care of business is
what's Hey You? I don't remember that one.
That's Pink Floyd.
Well, Beatle.
No, this was a 1975 Bachman Turner Overdrive song. Jim, if you could pull that up for me.
Well,
Hey You. There was a number one hit in Canada.
And the one you referenced with the. Ain't Seen Nothing Yet is one of the four or five songs that have stuttering in the song. Did you know that?
Well, this one's not too bad. I know this one. I haven't heard any lyrics yet, though. Oh, no, it sucks.
No, that's terrible.
Cheesy, terrible song.
Give that any props.
What a bunch of crap. No, their Ain't Seen Nothing Yet was their biggest single. It was number one in the U.S.,
You know
only
any
number
other,
one hit.
You know any other stuttering songs?
Stuttering songs, not that I can recall.
The Who, My Generation.
That's very good.
My Generation.
Yep. David Bowie's Changes.
Changes.
Yeah, there's three or four others.
Bop a ba bop a bop a bop bop da dip da dip da dang a dang dang a ding a dong ding blue moon. That doesn't count.
I don't think that counts.
Bad to the Bone. Oh, good one, Beatle.
See?
Who sang that?
George Thorogood.
Thorogood.
Doobie Brothers.
Who was here? Who visited here like a few months back?
What, upstairs?
Upstairs. Yeah.
Can't say the name of the station anymore. Not our sister station.
I don't work with them anymore, but he was in the building. He was in this very building one day last summer, and he got picked up at like a Motel 6 somewhere.
Tom Morgan would like to submit My Sharona as a stuttering song.
That's a good one. Yeah. I like that song.
I think we got
five.
We got five right there.
Woo!
Intentional stuttering.
How about Benny and the Jets?
Very good. Somebody gave you that. You didn't just come up with that. Thank you. That was too fast. That's six right there. That might be it.
Yeah. How about the song that Hardy, you did a what do you call it?
A parody?
A parody of Lola. Is there stuttering in that?
Nah.
No stuttering.
See, Dan's the ultimate authority on stuttering songs. He's also a big Mel Tillis fan. So you can tell anything you want to know about stuttering.
Oh, studio. Even though studio is not a word. Yes, there is stuttering in Phil Collins's. Yes, good one. Like that.
Barbara Ann, Beach Boys. Bop, 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 bop.
I don't think that's in the category of the other one you riffed off there.
And this is what we're now doing.
No, it's just
songs with stuttering.
It started with Bachman,
which all started with you asking about Doobie Brothers.
Well,
who didn't sing the damn song.
They played it. But we got some content out of that.
Eric is in Framingham. Eric,
and now it's done.
And it was gold.
How you doing, guys?
Good. What do you got?
Hey, quickly, is Hardy not the hardest working guy in radio? Jesus, everything he does.
Oh.
I'm not a relative.
All right, thank you.
Hey, I want to talk about Gronk and career records, how close he is, and wouldn't that be a motivation for the hang in there another year or two if he can reach career all-time records?
I don't think that really moves him. That's one I would not go along with. I just don't think. I think he's oblivious to that stuff. And, you know, his place is the greatest tight end of all time. You know, winning a third Super Bowl ring, I'd go there. I think that'd be a good thing. He didn't even play in one of the games. But I think, again, I just think the guy likes football. I think that's a rush that you can't get in other places.
I think so, too. And I think it's, look, you're going from something that you may not want to do anymore, and you may just be, you know, fed up with it, with the injury and the hassle and everything there in Foxborough. But I think it's safe to say that nothing will approach the level of importance or respect or greatness that you can achieve by being a member of that football team.
And you won't be able to do it much longer.
No,
matter what.
Just know you're saying goodbye to that. And what do football players talk about when they leave the game? How much they miss the locker room? How much they miss being a part of that? You're not going to get that on a movie set. You're not going to get that in a wrestling ring. And you're missing out on the most important aspect of all of it, which is it's approaching something real. It's still a football game, but it's not a predetermined outcome. There isn't a script like there is for the movie or for the wrestling. It's not all, well, it is all part of one big marketing ploy, but at least the for those 60 minutes on Sundays, the issue is in doubt. You don't know how it's going to turn out. You have a chance to do something heroic that will create real feelings in people as opposed to just mild amusement on Monday Night Raw or for a couple hours at a movie theater or sitting at home on your couch. Something that people get passionate about and will be talking about for decades, for generations. You're sure you're done with that?
Yep.
You're sure?
Hardy's right.
You ain't getting that rush in the WWE.
Nope.
No.
You're not getting it there.
And you're not
dumb movie.
The level of accolades and respect that you get from doing what you do now, and of course it's not easy. Of course I can't do it. And of course it's easy for me to say. I just want to make sure that for him, for somebody who's already achieved the level of success that he has, I feel there's a little bit left in that tank. For guys to leave the game when they're still playing at the highest level, man, that is a tough decision. Would not want to be in his shoes, suffer the injuries that he's had, and has those other offers to go back to something that's legitimately hard. It's like, oh, no, wrestle will be easy. Yeah, it is easy. And something is also not going to be the same.
Coming up next, two very important things. The first one, Bruins tickets. We are giving away Bruins tickets to see the Bruins take on Philadelphia on March 8th. We'll do that. And also, The return of Dan's dates.
You've missed him.
Zolak. A little bit of badass, a little bit of salt and vinegar.
Bertrand.
Sorry, I said that weird.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Damn it. I'm a Dapper Dan man.
And now it's time for Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction.
For Dapper Dan.
Bruins tickets right now. Caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line. 617-931-0985. Will score a pair of tickets to see the Bruins take on Philadelphia Thursday, March 8th at the Garden. Caller 10 right now. Contest line only. 617-931-0985. Call to win. Bruins tickets from the Sports Hub. Dan is here. We haven't had Dan's dates in a number of weeks. They're back. We miss them.
Thank you.
Bleep all the haters, Dan. All the haters of Dan's dates. I hope you bring it today. Go for it.
Today is February 27th. Birthday is on this date.
Good.
Joanne Woodward is 88. Anyone know who she was married to?
Joanne Woodward. Somebody 70s?
Paul Newman.
Oh.
Got that over with.
Okay.
Ralph,
all right.
Ralph Nader, Laughing Boy, the original Laughing Boy, is 84.
Yeah, what do you mean the original Laughing Boy? What does that
he's
mean?
So serious. He's enraged about everything.
Oh.
You know,
oh.
Loved him.
Unsafe at any speed.
Yes,
right?
Corvair.
Later, you know
how
what
old are you guys?
Beetle? No. Very bad car.
Oh, yeah. Dangerous car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Called it, Ralph Nader called it unsafe at any speed. It was like the first consumer advocate.
Oh, is this, you asking me what brand of car it was?
Yeah.
It was the Pinto?
Corvair.
No, it was the Corvair.
Oh, the Corvair.
No.
All right.
I don't know what you're asking me. I just know that the...
Okay, he wasn't the first consumer advocate, but he was the first prominent one. Is that safe to say?
Yes. Oh, my God, yes.
Okay.
Big
right.
time.
All right.
How old do you guys think James Worthy is today?
James Worthy is 53.
He is 57.
Ooh.
Kate Mara.
Never heard of her.
Sister of Rooney Mara.
She's probably
88.
You've never heard of 31. Kate Mara?
31.
She was the waitress in the plane crash, Marshall.
31.
She is 35.
Oh, I know who that is.
Yes.
Sure you do.
Rooney Mara's sister.
The other actress.
Yes. Chelsea Clinton. How old?
The other actress.
Chelsea Clinton is 34.
She is 38 today, and
damn
also
it.
The birthday of Bruce Springsteen band member. It's Clarence's nephew.
Oh, yeah, he's now in the band.
Jake Clemens.
Yeah.
He is a mere 38
he
as plays well.
With them, or he, it's,
yeah. Also born on this day, no longer with us, Liz Taylor.
Jim just has that made Dan's dates. The nephew.
Well, Clarence Clemens
well, he's
is
in
just
the
a band. You know, it's part of the E Street Band.
Well, he's now in the band. I mean, yeah. He took over
the
for
Lone
his uncle.
Ranger's no, nephew's in, horse?
He took over for Clarence Clemens.
Name
it's
is
important.
Victor.
Important. Liz Taylor was born this day in 1932. On this date in 1992, Tiger Woods, young 16-year-old Tiger Woods, turned professional. He was the youngest professional in 35 years at the PGA at that time.
Oh.
92?
Yes. He was 16 then. Does that math work for you? Should work.
Wait a second. But he played collegiate golf. How did he turn professional in 1992?
Well, I'm sure they were dirty like the NCAA is now. I don't know.
I'm going to have to...
Look it up. It's a golf
okay.
thing.
All right.
Get on it.
All right.
The Führer mentioned from today, 1933, Germany's parliament building was gutted by fire, and the chancellor blamed the communists. He used that to justify suspending civil liberties.
Yeah.
It was a key date in the movement of the Nazis. On this date in 1950, the Mystic River Bridge opened. I love the Mystic River Bridge. On this date in 1951, the 22nd Amendment to the Constitution, limiting a president to 2 terms. That was the FDR rule. 2 terms and you're out.
Following an outstanding junior college and amateur career, Woods was 20 years old when he turned professional at the end of the summer of 1996.
All right. That's 4 years later. I'll have to, Hardy's disputing.
I
gotta
am.
Go along with that. Well, I'll do more research.
Well, he won U.S. amateurs, you know, after the age of 16. I don't know how you win a U.S. amateur if you turn pro.
I have no explanation.
Okay.
I saw it online, which is always a mistake. It was a Google machine thing.
All right.
On this date in 1912, the Yankees decided to go with pinstripes moving forward.
Because they were slimming for the players.
Who made that call?
1912, maybe Jake Rupert. I'm not really sure.
I wasn't expecting you to come up with a name.
On this date in 1968, Walter Cronkite flipped on Vietnam. And that's when LBJ said, if I've lost Cronkite, I've lost America.
Ooh.
It's a good one.
And he got out of business right after that.
Is it true there's some story about Walter Cronkite showing up like at a POW camp or something like that, and some of the prisoners saying to each other, it's like, guys, we're going home. Walter Cronkite's here.
Wow, that's pretty good. I don't know it. Don't know it. I like it, though. Folks who died in this date, Mr. Rogers died in this date in 2003.
Ah, damn.
Leonard Nimoy of Boston College died in this date in 2015.
Ah.
And on this date, this is the one, this is my favorite takeaway from this date. On this date in the year of our Lord, 1959, at the Boston Garden, the Boston Celtics defeated the Minneapolis Lakers 173-139.
Sorry, where was the defense?
And it wasn't as close as the score would indicate.
It remains the highest scoring game in NBA history, at least regular, without overtime. I think it holds up. So I looked at the box score. Kuz had 31 with 28 assists. Thank you very much.
Oh, good grief.
The great Tommy Heinsohn had 43. Bill Sharman had 29. Frank Ramsey had 20. Casey Jones had 12. Sam Jones had 8. All six of those men are in the NBA Hall of Fame. And the Lakers were led by Elgin Baylor, who I believe had 43. That is what I have on Feb 27. And we're going to have our staff go back on the Tiger Woods thing and find out what the hell happened.
Yeah, go get the details
on
that.
Sorry.
Anything missed there, Hardy, that you could see?
U.S. Olympic hockey team beat the Soviet Union.
Not 1980, but 1960.
The Cleary brothers. That game was outdoors. Squaw Valley?
Yes.
Yes, it was outdoors.
Yes.
There's that one, and there's a musical one, too. Should we play a game of Name That Tune for
Doobie Brothers?
No. This song was released in 1981, did you say, Jim?
It's a little after my time. Ebony and Ivory?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, pull that out. It took like one bar.
I knew the answer, and I wasn't sure Jim was playing the right song. I couldn't get it as fast, and I had the answer.
Yeah, I knew it. And there's some trivia about this, because Paul McCartney has made the top 10 chart, whatever, as a solo artist, as a duo, and you're listening to this, as a trio, as a quartet, that might have been the Beatles, and as a five-member band.
With what, Wings?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Yeah, I guess. But the trio, I'm not sure which one that would be. But yeah, Paul has done it all. And this was his duet. Unfortunate.
With?
Wait. Oh,
he knows the song.
No, come on. Come on, Dan.
Let him listen to it again.
Turn it up, Jim. Right there. You should know it right now.
It's... Is it Stevie Wonder?
Yes. There you go. Yeah. I
didn't want to say he did a duet with Michael Jackson, and that was The Girl Is Mine.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
I was
what's really
trying
good
to be
about
careful
this?
There.
You know? Honestly, as you listen to it, listen. Here we go. Why don't we? It's not perfect. It hasn't been produced to within an inch of its life.
Yeah.
You know, they're kind of
rare for Paul.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying it's like if they were to make that song today, it would be glimmering. It'd be untouchable. Like, every note would be perfect. Every word would be in perfect sync with each other. It's like you can tell.
You like the little raw imperfections.
Of course.
Yes. And you get the metaphor there, the keys, ivory and ebony.
I don't know.
Black and white.
What do you mean?
This little metaphor there.
I see the world in shades of gray.
It's a harmony.
I don't know what you're referring to.
You get black and white together on the keyboard.
It's a piano.
Sitting at the keyboard.
Yeah.
A black guy, a white guy.
Oh, yeah. Jesus.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I didn't even know.
They're singing in harmony.
It had never occurred to me.
Just so you get all the deepness of this, I want to make sure.
Well, thank you for being here to explain
it. Like Kevin Zoe here.
I get ebony and ivory. One's black, one's white. Wasn't Stevie Wonder black?
Yes, he is.
One glad was, you're here to explain it to a bunch
one
of dullards
blind,
like
one
ourselves.
Wasn't, you know, yeah, it's a lot to go there.
My God. All right, Dan, thanks for being here.
I got to go.
You
see
know,
you
as you said, Dan, don't get us in trouble when you come in for your 2 hours every week, okay? Let's try and stay clear of, the globe. All right? If you don't mind. 1 o'clock hour is on the way.
Talking about what's in the paper. We don't like being in the paper.
Oh, Shaughnessy. God love him. All right, 90 seconds, no commercials.
You get the metaphor there? Ebony
and
ivory?
Back with the fourth and final
keys
hour.
Are right next to each other. Perfect harmony. One guy's black, one guy's white.